Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much. Jim, I don't know how we'd get along up here without you. I often wonder. And how would I get along, that's the thing, without you? And how would we get along without you, our dear listeners? I have so many dear listeners scattered over four states from whom I get letters, and also here in town. People whose friendship is so faithful. I know you, and don't think I don't appreciate you. And I hear the good little things you say about me now and then, and I love talking to you. What I say may be worth nothing, but at least it is from a sincere heart. And I'm always hoping that I can say at least one little word to help your day. Esther Lamont at Nevada, who writes beautifully, sent me this little verse the other day. He who has power to bring to pass a baby's smile, a blade of grass, who set the countless stars in space, in place, and hung the planets each in space, and guides their course while ages roll, he too has power to save my soul. Thank you, Esther. And I believe that. Those are not just words written to make a rhyme, you know. Esther Lamont says she's nearly 67 years old, and she says we are a four-generation family. My 93-year-old living grandmother being the oldest, and a 4-year-old grandson the youngest. Isn't that wonderful? She says this little grandson is the only male child in our entire clan. Think of that, too. Well, good for him. I'm sure he'll bring up the rear. You remember a while back, and two or three different times, I talked to you about the dear old lady, Mrs. Lois Bement at Springdale, Arkansas, who's now 103 years old. I never get through talking about her. She's such a wonderful person. She was a Lewis of the historic family of the Lewis and Clark expedition into the West many years ago. What I talked about was the quiz, which she made up herself and sent to me to put on the air, written in her own hand when she was 102. I thought it was such an amazing thing, a lady 102 making her own quiz. I've given it to several students in the schools, and they're awfully tickled to get it as a sort of relic. And I've been asked several times to repeat the quiz. So here it is. I know some of them, the answers, and some I don't know. You know, she got her answers mixed up a bit. She says, I got my answers mixed, and she didn't get all the answers in, bless her heart. But anyway, I read it to you once. First, what is a bunch of quails called? Well, that's a covey. Happen to know that. What is a bunch of pheasants called? I didn't know that. It's a nye, she says, N-Y-E. What living creature has the most ribs? Well, I didn't even know that. I thought maybe it was me, but it's a snake. Is coal a vegetable or a mineral? It's a vegetable. What play was being presented in Ford's Theater when Lincoln was assassinated? The play was Our Country Cousin. He didn't want to go, and he didn't give a hoop for it, but nothing would do his wife, but she must go. Who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin? Well, we all know that, Harriet Beecher Stowe. Do they shoe an ox? Yes, is the answer. What states have four straight lines? Well, she didn't get that answer, and I don't know. She also said, how many toes has a cat? And I don't know that. I think four, isn't it? I don't know. Who was president when the Lewis and Clark expedition was organized? Well, that was Thomas Jefferson. And then she said this that I did discuss, you know. What is a layless goose? You remember I discussed that freely, and I had correct answers from several people. It's a tailor's pressing iron, a long, heavy iron, which for some reason, I don't know why, they call it a goose. And of course, it doesn't lay, therefore it's layless. But a woman wrote to me and she said, why, May, a layless goose is a gander. But that wasn't Ms. Bement's answer. It's a tailor's iron. How many light years in a century? Well, she didn't get that. Yes, she did too. She said that there were 24, and I don't know what a light year is. Of course, there are a few things in the world I don't know, you know. So there is the quiz. Now, if any of you want a copy of that quiz, I'll make and send you one if you send me a stamped envelope. It's a sort of relic to have a quiz from a 103-year-old lady that she made up herself. Her mind is fine right now, they tell me. And she's an old school teacher, educated woman. But she's very deaf. She cannot hear me anymore on the radio. She tries, but can't. God bless her. She used to listen to me so much. Yeah, and she'd write to me. Yesterday they celebrated the 100th birthday of Mr. Evan Fix, who lives out at the Grand Acres Rest Home. I attended his 99th birthday. They had me to come out, and they wanted me to come to this one, but I just couldn't go that yesterday. He's the most, well, I believe it is day before yesterday they celebrated. Well, I can't remember. It's one of the two. He's the most remarkable man, fine-looking and straight, and a good mind. 100 years old, and he looks about 75. Actually, he does not look one day older than 75. That's the truth. It's perfectly amazing. I noticed in the evening paper that he said he didn't feel as well as he looked. Well, a lot of us don't. Some months ago, I read an old recipe. Used to be called receipt. You know, they used to call them receipts, you know, about how to do a washing. Well, there were many people wrote me that they liked it. These old things are fascinating, and they're so true, and they're sort of fundamental, and they still linger, and those are the things people love. And I don't know, I guess I'm the only person in the whole country that puts them on the air. This week, Bruce and Dorothy Seaton at Galena, my own hometown, that out in the rural route, they sent me the same article. I guess they didn't hear when I put it on the air the other time. They said they clipped it out of the Golden City Herald. And anyway, I'm going to give it to you again. The writer said this receipt was given to her mother when a bride by her grandmother in Kentucky. So it is old. She says she hangs it over her automatic washer. I'm going to give it again for fear some of you missed it. And it's cute and you'll like it. It's exactly the way my mother washed. Little did she dream of a washing machine ever coming into existence. But you know, along about that time, however, when I was just a bride, my husband bought me the very latest. It was a washing machine run by hand with a lever that you pulled back and forth. My, I thought I had something. Well, here is this old washing receipt, as they called it. How to do a washing. I guess the grandmother knew that the bride would need this along with her other things. Need it pretty bad. The spelling all through is funny, you know, but you can make out what it means. It says, first build a fire in the backyard to heat the kettle of water. Set the tub so the smoke won't blow in your eyes if the wind is peered. Shave one whole cake of lye homemade soap in biling water. Sort your things. Make three piles. One white pile. One colored pile. She's got that C-U-L-L-U-R-D. One colored pile. One pile of breeches and rags. Make starch. S-T-O-R-C-H. Make starch. Rub dirty spots on board. Scrub hard, then bile. Rub colored, but don't bile. Just wrench, R-E-N-C-H, wrench, and starch. Spread tea towels on the grass. T-E-E, towels on the grass. And I remember they used to spread things on the grass and had the morning dew, you know, made them as white as snow. Hang old rags on the fence. Pour wrench water on flower bed. Scrub the porch with the hot soapy water. Turn the tub upside down. Go put on a clean dress. Smooth your hair with your side combs and brew up a biler of coffee. Set, rest, and rock a spell and count your blessings. Now, ladies, if you have a receipt that can beat that one, just let me know. Rest and rock a spell and count your blessings. Well, I have a better story than that, though, about the rinse water. My mother used to call us kids in and bathe us in the rinse water, me and my sister. That is, in the summertime. You know, we had no bathtubs, and we bathed in the wash tubs anyway. We used to just love that bath in the partly warmed rinse water. I told that to someone one time, a woman, and she said, "Oh, you're just joking." I said, "Well, what was the matter with that? On a hot, dusty summer afternoon to bathe two dirty kids in the rinse water and get them clean and put a new dress on them. A clean dress. Clean apron. We always had aprons, generally." Well, here I am again now with something else that I love to get in a whack against whenever I can. You know, I get lots of statistics sent to me. If I read you all the statistics, I'd be forever at it. I get them on radio releases. press releases. This one is about that liquid rat poison known in many forms as alcohol. It says that in the cities they have many six-year-old children in institutions trying to cure them. They're alcoholics. At that age, mind you, 6 years old, and scores of them around 12. In Chicago is an institution chiefly for child alcoholics up to 13. That's where the parents, if you can call a thing like that a parent, have given the kids liquor to drink of all sorts since they were small babies. Or else, I knew a family, I didn't know the family, knew about them, who used to get their baby drunk at a party and then die laughing at him, at his capers, 16 months old. Or else the children have stolen it out from their parents. The alcoholic stage is quickly reached in small children, and of course the poor things don't know what it is they have. It is a terrible thing to have to read that and a terrible thing to have to know it, but it's the truth. It takes a mighty short time, you know, to reach that trigger mechanism, as they call it, where an alcoholic is sprung. Then they can't quit. Yes, that's what happens to people who drink the stuff. Pop skull or whatever you call it, bumblebee stew or corn squeezings or white mule or whatever you know how to name it. I read a joke that Representative Brooke Hayes of Arkansas told. I thought it was cute. He said an Arkansas judge said to a man hailed into court so often for moonshining and drunk driving and so on, he said, "You and your sons have given this court more trouble than anybody in Arkansas." And the old chap said, "Well, Judge, we ain't give you any more trouble than you give us." Well, seriously, you know, I can be serious sometimes. Here's a thought for the day. I want you to go away from this broadcast remembering that if one door closes on you, another always opens. Don't forget that. It's a thought for you to remember. And I want you to remember this. Love somebody. For heaven's sake, love somebody. Love is the greatest power on earth. It can lift mountains and make the walls of Jericho fall. Let your love go out to people who need it. Out in the darkness of lonely despair, somebody needs your love. Just let that somebody know that you're there. Somebody needs your love. Some are downhearted and in sorrow they roam. Somebody needs your love. Throw open your heart. Yes, throw open your home to somebody needing your love. Someone is about to give up the fight. Somebody needs your love. Slip your hand in his before it comes night. Somebody needs your love. It was such a grief to me when my dear friend, one of my last schoolmates in the world, died this week, Iva Keeney Miller at Cape Fair. She was a Galena girl and always a grand person, a grand girl. Well, my time is up, and I have to go, and I'll be seeing you again next Saturday, the Lord willing and the creek don't rise.